This is where the fish lives.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 64, In Search of Goliza. Featuring Ron, Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, Amanda Smith, Mark Bosco, and Terry Drozdak. Like thankless, repetitive tasks? Do you like being slapped on the ass and being addressed as honey, baby doll, or toots? Are you a woman between the ages of 18 and 24 with corrective lenses, striped socks, and, oh, what the hell, good organizational skills? Sarcastic Voyage needs an unpaid intern to manage all the crap that Al and Matt can't be bothered with. Contact the show at podcast@algar.com for further details. Panel discussion.
Friends, this week we have something special for you.
Something different.
Unusual. Amanda's here, by the way.
That would be the thing that is different and unusual.
No, there are other things.
I've been here before.
There will be other people along to help us, assist us in our search for the mighty Goliza.
Yes, today is a quest for truth and knowledge.
Or possibly lies and...
The opposite of knowledge.
Another word for lies, which I can't think of.
Fabrications.
There you go.
Falsehoods.
Right. So there's that. Before we begin our exhaustive search for Goliza or evidence disproving Goliza, we got a couple of things we need to discuss briefly here.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Matt, speaking of horrors, how about that human centipede?
Oh, yeah. So I was looking at horror magazines in a magazine store, as I am wont to do, and I saw this ad for The Human Centipede, which is basically the tale of a man's quest to sew a man to a woman to a woman.
Yes, but the place where they are sewn together is really...
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because you have the guy, and then sewn to his asshole is the girl's mouth, and then sewn to her asshole is another girl's mouth. The plan being that they can function as one...
One continuous digestive system. Right.
Matt, I just have to stop you here for a second.
Amanda, yes, Amanda.
What store? Are you looking at print media?
It's been known to happen.
He actually deals in print media. We visited him at his day job.
You're in soap print media.
Yeah.
Now there's
not an online.
I know, it's strange. The internet has been all abuzz with this too, because I guess it's just come out or it's coming out soon or something. And as usual with this show, by the time this show actually posts, everyone will be long sick of hearing about it, but we don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about this thing and I laughed. It seems like one of those ridiculous over the top things that I just don't think is that gross.
You see,
and I'm amused by how disturbed that you are.
I read about it and I'm just like, that is just awful. And I mean, like, a lot of it might have to do with my utter hatred of people and not wanting to be near them or talk to them.
Especially their asses.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, you go one up from talking to a guy on the subway is having your mouth sewn to his asshole.
Yeah. I mean, I can see having a deep seated fear of that. That's mm-hmm. an everyday fear. That's like dreaming of your teeth falling out. I mean,
it's a fear that you didn't know you had until someone, you know, articulates it so well. Well, Matt, what about if this guy was sewn to your asshole? Yeah, that would be awful. I don't want that to happen at all.
Well, here's a movie about it.
Oh, man.
The best part, apparently, is that this is like the sort of lower budget version of what he really wanted to do. There's like four people involved with this one, and he wants to do one with like 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
And if this movie does well and he gets the money, he's going to make a sequel where the guy makes a much larger human centipede.
It's going to be called The Longer Human Centipede.
Right. That's basically it. It's called like The Human Centipede and then parentheses partial or something. And then the next one is like parentheses full.
This is this guy's dream.
Yes.
It's not just like he made this movie up because, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and then move on to the next idea. No.
No, this is his vision.
Yep.
I have a dream.
Ever since I was a young lad.
Oh, this is going to be one of those things where he gets a job in film so he can live out his fetish. Like how Quentin Tarantino got a... Yeah, exactly. How he got a job in film just so he could make movies about Uma Thurman's feet.
And Uma Thurman's replacement's feet.
Yes.
Hey, speaking of fetishes...
Repulsive feet.
Come on, you guys are stepping on my beautiful, wonderful segue here.
Yeah, that was a great segue.
Wasn't it, just?
I am a fan.
Speaking of segue... God damn it. Speaking of fetishes... I hate you both.
These people want to fuck segues. Yeah.
I guess they do.
Probably. That's fine. They have those balance correcting gyros in them, which is cool. Or possibly gyros.
Handle like egg.
So, speaking of, what the hell were we speaking of? Oh, so there's this website that's, it's for a place that sells glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And effectively it's, if you upload a picture of yourself, you can try on different glasses.
Really?
But what that really is to me is free porn.
Yeah, basically.
Because I can take a picture of any woman that is not wearing glasses, or perhaps is only wearing one pair of glasses.
This is everything you've ever hoped for.
Yeah, and put as many glasses as I want wherever I want on them.
This is it for me, isn't it? I am superfluous.
No, see, now I can add a second pair of glasses to you, so that's okay.
We tried that on the island, and you were not a fan.
No, not in person. That's weird. But, you know, the things that I will look at on the computer as opposed to the things that I will look at on you.
Yeah, see, this is the difference between fantasy and reality.
Right, exactly. Like, I could think about a human centipede being sewn to someone's asshole, but I don't actually want to see it.
Well, someone does.
Clearly.
Someone made a movie about it.
Incidentally, someone German. So mm-hmm. That explains a lot, I think.
Yeah. No surprises there.
I blame Irene for that.
She's Austrian. Yep.
Yeah, but Austria, Germany, Iraq, Iran. What's the difference?
That's like saying Canada, America. What's the difference?
She knew about it and she did nothing.
I suppose that's true. They came for the human centipedes and I did nothing. All right, we got some letters to get to, and I am kind of hustling us through here because we do have Galiza business to get to. Galizness.
Damn it.
Beat you to it.
One more thing on the whole glasses subject.
Uh-huh.
We just watched A Serious Man this weekend, and... Mm-hmm. You need to get some horn rim glasses.
Okay.
That is something that
I've had the LASIK and they'll have to be cosmetic. Yep. But like,
that's
just
fine.
Okay. I have zero problem with it. You know, I'm not, I'm not Jewish, right?
Well,
that'll be step two.
There are red haired Jews.
Not many of them.
Well, no, there aren't a lot of black Jews either, but Sammy Davis Jr. was, existed.
And he had red hair, which was really weird.
That is quite strange. Frank Sinatra made him change it, though.
And only one eye.
All right, on to the letters. Oddly enough, this one is, and I didn't mean this as a delightful segue, it just happened that way. Damn it, I need to hide my cell phone telephone because...
My mom's going to call.
Inevitably, your mother will call. But also, people are beeping in with my stupid fake Scrabble game I've been playing. Put that away here. No, this letter actually is signed Jewfully Yours. Like this guy apparently wants to write us in Hebrew or something. Shalom, Algar, Matt, and esteemed guest. If the guest is Flonk, please disregard the esteemed.
I'm esteemed.
Well, you're not Flonk. Forgive the setup, but it's crucial to my question. I was recently asked to give a short 5-minute speech over any subject during one of my medical school classes. Now, while other students got up to talk about things they liked medically or how to cook some lame dish, I went another route with this. I told the Batman origin story as if it were my own life, even going so far as to create fictitious parents who were murdered, and since my dad was a surgeon, that's why I was in the medical field. By the end, I had a few females crying until I told them I was just kidding and this was from Batman. Was this inappropriate? Will I be going to some sort of hell? Or was this too good an opportunity to pass up to mess with people's heads? As I am currently listening to the Clusterflunk Extravaganza, I look forward to hearing your response when I catch up, probably in November. Jewfully yours, Ted Bigsby.
Oddly enough, this is how I responded to all of my school projects.
Jewfully yours?
No, by retelling Batman's origin.
Did you make females cry?
At first.
You also talked about Black Mage a lot, as I recall.
Yeah, that happened too.
Which Black Mage? The one or the other one?
No, this was pre...
The character, not one of
yes.
the people.
Oh, I don't care.
Would you care anyway?
No, but that's from that thing that I don't like us to talk about. So
yeah.
Basically, Scott ruined that. Like, I wouldn't have minded discussing that particular subject, but...
No, I was talking about a webcomic. I don't know what the other thing.
Oh, all right. That's
about. Yeah. I'm talking about a webcomic.
All right. We got to answer this question. Well, you're not going to hell because you're Jewish and you don't believe in hell.
Or alternately, you're absolutely going to hell because you're Jewish.
And this won't make it any more or less likely.
No. Yeah, exactly.
And if that's the case, we will also be there. So
we can have a party.
That's fine. A Batman party.
We saw.
And hell's looking up.
Yeah.
We saw that happen one night in Seattle.
A Batman party?
No.
We were driving around. Yeah. This is when I had a job, like working 2 a.m. or whatever. So it wasn't unusual for me to be driving around the city really, really late. And, I mean, I had the night off, but I was keeping weird hours.
And I'm creepy, so it's not unusual for me to be up at 4 a.m.
Right.
Skulking.
But we were downtown, like, probably returning a library book or doing some normal citizen thing, only at a weird time.
Returning some videotapes.
Yes, I had to return some videotapes.
Feed me a stray cat.
Painting the driveway or something. No, I think we were down by the library, and we happened to pass this place that looked remarkably like Crime Alley from the Batman. Mm-hmm. The various forms of Batman.
The opera had just let out. The opera was in town.
The opera or something like the opera, the symphony or something Marcus classy. Zorro. Yeah. And it appeared that there was a man, a woman, and a child dressed formally for some kind of cultural event.
She was wearing pearls.
Yes, he was wearing a tux. Walking down what appeared to be Crime Alley. And then we drove past and we didn't see what happened next. But that was a few years ago, so he's probably like in Tibet now training, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That happened. Next,
Batman would not work well in Seattle.
No,
I don't think so. How high are your buildings?
Quite high, actually.
I guess they're pretty high.
Many of them.
They're just concentrated in one particular area.
It's like
see that's the problem.
In the suburbs.
I suppose that's
true. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, you got a good point. All right, next set of questions comes from Blandy, and he writes, "Dear folks, I like how you mention something with the show's name on it and something valuable right next to each other as if the two were related. BFF Blandy." Do you know what he's talking about?
I have no goddamn idea.
Oh, and then the next one says, "By the way, I just got to the part about replying to older shows." Ironic. That was for the Axe Cop episode, by the way, Blandy. Wasn't the Axe Cop episode like 50-something, 40-something?
I don't remember what happened in the Axe Cop episode. I think we talked to Axe Cop.
Well, that's how I remember it. You think that's bad? Remember when we talked to Axe Cap? All right, next question comes from longtime writer Duh, and he writes, "Dear Algar Man, Matt Boy, and super special guest of the week," that's you.
Excuse me, it's Matt Ladd.
Oh, sorry. Wait.
I'm esteemedly super special.
I don't think you can be Matt Ladd. I think that's far too close to Matter Eater Ladd.
I'm okay with that.
Maybe he is Matter Eater Ladd.
Why would he take out the eater then?
To make it more punchy.
Extreme? To extreme it up?
Oh, I see.
Black leather costume?
Were there any inappropriate movies that your parents let you see as a kid that you wouldn't let a child of the same age see today? I think you're asking the wrong crowd here. None of us should be trusted with children at all.
No.
I maintain that fear is good for children.
Sure.
The sound of children's laughter cuts through me like a knife.
And me as well. But, you know, hypothetically speaking.
I watched a lot of Van Damme movies as a kid. Like, my stepfather would just put them on, and so there'd be, like, violent sex.
I just remember catching a commercial, I think when I was working in one of the video stores I worked at, where the announcer, "Wham! Bam! Thank you, Van Damme!" And I can't take him, like, I can't watch a Van Damme movie now because that's all I can think about, and that's just ridiculous.
I think there's,
and also, it's a Van Damme movie.
Punching, like, he punched some glass, and then he punched a guy with glass in his hand, and then he went and had sex with a lady.
And then he punched an eagle.
I love to have glass in my hand.
All right. No, actually, in fact, my parents took me, I think I may have mentioned this on the show before, took me to see Poltergeist, at the drive-in.
Ah, yes.
At the drive-in, the night before third grade started.
Poltergeist is a great movie for children.
Yeah, and to watch before the first day of school when you're not going to sleep anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bloody fantastic.
Remember when that clown doll dragged that little boy under the bed?
No, I don't have the same clown memory that you have.
Mr. Or when that guy tore his own face off?
Mr. Farr. Right.
I remember my grandpa took me to see The Craft, and I was probably
wasn't that PG-13
11, And there was a lot of sex in that movie. I don't remember it being like terribly bad. It was just really uncomfortable. Like,
well, then didn't you grow up?
Yeah, when you're with your grandfather. Yeah. I mentioned that on the Back to the Future show where my grandmother took me to that, and I had to watch the like George peeping in on Lorraine, and I felt really uncomfortable with that.
I think there was boobs or near boobs, and it was just weird being there with my grandpa.
Side boobs.
That's the best kind of boob. But no, I would let children see anything. In fact, I would strap their eyes open like in that movie and make them watch any. Yeah, I was going Beethoven. Somewhere with that. And yes, Beethoven or Marmaduke, whatever. Duh also says, also, why can't you just rename the soap to have it show specific? Algar Amadin Carbonite. Reference to our Han Solo soap that someone's now making money off of.
You guys don't have nearly sultry enough lips.
I could totally... True.
No, not sultry enough. You would have had at least 50% more salt.
All right, salt, huh?
Yep.
Well, if you could like collagen me up, then maybe we could.
There's an image I didn't need. Good heavens!
Full pouting lips.
All right, our last letter comes from Travis, who was on the show previously. I'm going to clean this up a bit. It's a bit long and it's a bit profane. Dear Al, I love you. You're great. Signed, Travis. Okay, so on with the Galiza.
Well, you didn't say the bit at the bottom there where he says, "Yours in My Little Pony."
Oh, right. Yes, Yours in My Little Pony, Travis. You're right. Sorry about that. Please write again, Travis. We love you. So there's that. All right, on with the Galiza stuff. Matt, do you have anything else before we move on?
Nah, I'm good.
Okay.
Let's go hunt for Galiza.
Yeah, let's start out by saying we don't know much about Galiza, Mighty Galiza, the alleged creature.
There's
the Duke of Monsters.
I think he's a hoax. I think you guys are falling for a classic hoax.
Okay, well, expand on that. What do you, I mean, I'm, the first I heard of it was when someone, I think it was Duh, but I may be mistaken, and I'm going to have to dig that up in the show archives.
Actual proof of the existence of Galiza.
But the first time we heard of Galiza was during one of our dumb Q&A shows when someone wrote in and asked us about him.
Mm-hmm.
That I was not aware of him before that. Are you aware of some running hoax or?
So many towns and people do this to improve their town image and make it seem like there's some real cryptozoological creature there. But it's not. Mm-hmm. And it just gives all real monsters a bad name.
Well, you were helping me look up some stuff on the web earlier, and you pointed me to this, it's cryptozoology.com, actually. And Galiza does not appear to be...
Because he's not real.
...on their list.
Yeah, but other not real monsters are on there, too.
So is your assertion that all of those monsters do exist and Galiza doesn't, therefore he's not on it? Or,
yes.
Well, all right, then. Matt, where do you weigh in on this?
I believe in the theory of Galiza.
No, you believe in the theory, but do you believe in the... Like, do you believe it exists, or you just...
Well, I believe in the theory that he's real, so...
But believing in the theory, you're removing yourself one step. You're saying, I believe in Galiza. You don't actually...
I'm spiritual about Galiza.
Yes.
I believe that the people that believe in Galiza are probably right.
I'm Galiza agnostic, is what you're basically saying.
I'm taking my bit.
I need more. I've been told that I need more, so I'm taking yours now.
Ah.
Okay, but let's get back to this. What do we think, whether he exists or not? I'm going to flat out say I'm neutral. I have no idea. I have seen no proof of Galiza. I've seen no proof against Galiza. That's why we're doing this show. We're going to talk to some people who maybe can shed some light on this.
Who have seen Galiza.
The artwork that adorns this very episode is a collage of images provided by our many artistic friends who told us what they think Galiza might look like.
I think that despite a very excellent drawing by Scott Sioko, Go Team Zozo, it's not real.
There are many excellent drawings, and quite a few of them, I think, deserve praise, and we're not going to play favorites. So,
Go Team Zozo.
But I am completely... It's Galiza's game to prove or disprove as far as I'm concerned. So...
So you're saying that if he's real, he has to come out and prove it, just like Jesus?
No, I've given up on Jesus.
Well, yeah, exactly.
If he showed up with a six pack and said, "Hey, dude, let's watch some Star Trek." No, too bad, you don't exist. Slam the door right now. He's had his chance.
You had your chance.
Yeah, Galizza.
But if Galizza showed up at your place with a six pack.
Oh yeah, yeah, six pack of what, cake?
I guess spraying cake.
No, I guess he breathes cake. So.
Well, he exhales cake.
Let's run down the list real quick before we start talking to other people. What do we know about Galizza? What is it? What can we establish as, if not fact, at least accepted likelihood?
Okay, he may or may not be in some way related to Godzilla.
We think he may be his like retarded younger brother or cousin.
Famous Japanese A-bomb metaphor.
Right. So what would Galizza be a metaphor for?
Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor sucks?
Sure.
All right. And of course, I'm trying to bring up our lovely wiki, and my internet is not cooperating.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll bring up our lovely wiki.
Because we, I think it was Tidro actually went and collected a few of the basic facts. Like I said, I want to start out with what we know before we move on to
the fact that he breathes cakes. He breathes out cakes.
I think
that is absolutely a fact.
Okay, he breathes cake.
Yes.
Now, there's been some dispute as to how exactly this happens. Does he throw up cake? Does he exhale cake? Does he?
My belief is that he exhales cake batter.
I see. So, you know, one of the research questions here is, does he eat cake mix? I don't know. Maybe he does.
It would make sense. Otherwise, how would he be generating cake?
Maybe that's why people think he's so, you know, mad and rampaging around town. He needs to break open cake stores and cake mix factories.
Cakeries?
Like the Duncan Hines forgery down in downtown Duncan Hines, Missouri? Yeah, I don't know.
I got nothing. Appears to be down.
Of course. All right, well,
all of our facts are lost forever.
Well, then we'll start some new ones. Now, basically, that's all we know anyway. That's probably a large monster that breathes cake and may be related to Godzilla.
I don't know. Some of the pictures I've seen, he's been kind of small.
Yes, I've seen that too. His size is an issue.
Well, we'll discuss that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be bringing someone on the line here now, and
they're calling in.
And we'll discuss that. Yes. All right. On the line with us now is noted Galizza expert Mark Bosco, aka my childhood pal Bob. So, Bob, I had no idea. All this time I've known you, and never realized you were up with the Galizza. That's
Oh yeah. I mean, that's my main thing is the Galizza.
Really?
And yeah,
Galizza, huh?
Like Galizza. Yeah.
That's how you emphasize the go.
That's it. Yeah. Galizza. It's your birthday.
That is exactly right.
Huh.
That's and pronunciation.
I don't know. Right. I don't know what your other callers are all talking about. I mean, this is, you know, this is the real deal. This is the monster for the 21st century.
Really? So
considering the rest of them have been disproved, I can understand that.
Well, wasn't Godzilla proven to be just a Japanese special effects technician in a rubber suit? I mean,
but that's Godzilla. This is Golizza.
I know. I'm going with the most similar, like we got to start somewhere familiar before we go into weird new territories.
Actually, one legend I heard was that Godzilla was a curse upon special effects workers who had to walk the earth for centuries dressed in a rubber suit.
And then every day, Gamera would peck out their liver.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's
No. This is something that destroys Manhattan on an annual basis, and also upchucks cakes.
Okay, well, we know about the cake part, but really destroy all of Manhattan.
Absolutely. But then it also creates a temporal anomaly at the end of the day, and nobody knows what's happened.
Oh, of course.
Oh, wow.
So Galizza is a time-traveling giant lizard that vomits cake.
Yes, exactly. It keeps reliving the same day over and over.
Just how,
you know how like the malls all over the country are, it's actually just one mall, and there's like this temporal molecular displacement field that you walk in the door and you walk into the mall. There's only one mall.
No, I didn't know that.
Mall Prime.
Yeah, no, it's totally like that.
Oh, well, I'm learning stuff left and right here, not what you're saying, more about what you.
And so wandering the halls of this mall is a giant monster that vomits cake.
The Golizza, yes.
Now, does it vomit cake or does it breathe cake? That's one of the points we have in dispute here.
I believe it's more of an upchuck.
Okay. So now Oh, go ahead, Matt.
And which raises the question of where this cake is coming from.
Well, the cake is created inside its gizzard, and it, like, you know, it brings it back up into its mouth like a cow.
So, do you think he feeds on cake, or do you think he feeds on cake mix that then is transformed into cake in the Galiza gizzard and is vomited out again?
Well, I think it's obviously from eating too many Bed Bath & Beyonds.
Oh. No, of course.
But if there's only one mall, like you state, then there should only be one Bed Bath & Beyond.
Or rather, right, but an infinite number of Bed Bath & Beyond.
No, there should only be one.
It's over and over. It's the same one. It keeps
because
regenerating.
Of the temporal anomaly.
Exactly.
So if some...
Also, it's like the department store that eats its own tail.
Yeah. It's like the Ouroboros.
So it's like Ross department store, only it's more of an Ouroboros department store. Gotcha. Really had to let me get there. So
that's precisely right.
So now let's get back to this Manhattan thing. You and I have visited Manhattan together on a couple of occasions.
Sure.
We've seen no evidence of this. We've been there for a full 24-hour period, and we've never experienced Galiza, as far as I know.
Me neither. Because
no.
Galiza is not real.
Of course not. But you don't remember it. Everything just, you know, it goes back in time. It's the temporal anomaly thing.
Okay, then how do you know this? How have you managed to break out of the cycle of the temporal anomalies and become aware?
Well, there are some elements of the society that are more sensitive to these sorts of paranormal events. So it's really, you know, the small children and animals that remember these things.
And you.
Well, no, I've heard the stories,
from small children and animals.
Yeah.
Is this coming from your kids?
No, his children aren't small at all. I mean,
no, they're not small enough.
About to be a teenager.
They're going
to
be, you know, little tiny tots.
I see.
I just picture you, Bob, I am a squirrel and I have a secret to tell you.
Now you're referring it to.
You would be surprised.
I would not be, actually. You've been referring it to it as the Galiza, like. Is there more than one, or
like
is it like
the Batman,
or like the Sasquatch, or I mean,
yeah, no, it's like the, you know, it's like the internet.
I see. So is there only
is Galiza a series of tubes?
There's only one, but it encompasses everything.
He's the princes of the universe.
Wait, what? It encompasses everything. So
yeah,
all matter and energy in the universe is contained within Galiza.
Are we all Galiza?
So are we
it goes back to the Ouroboros concept. You know, it's eating its own tail. It is everything. It's its own mother, and all that. Yes.
And selling blazers at a discount.
That's quite possible. Although, you know, mostly small children's clothing and accessories for pets.
Sure.
Bob, do you worship Galiza? Are you a Galizagist?
No, not at all. No, he's just, you know, he's just an acquaintance.
Oh, so have you met him? Have you talked to him?
Well, you know, just the once, but it was, you know, I was a little tiny guy at the time. He hasn't talked to me in a long time, so.
Not a child, you were just very small.
Or he's friend to all children?
No, that's Gamera. Come on.
Mm. Does he like Gamera in his being friend to all children?
Yeah, he's very much like Gamera. He's really neat, and he's full of meat.
I see.
But not turtle.
No, he's not a turtle, no. He's a, you know, he's very lizard-like.
But he's not a lizard specifically. He's just lizard-like.
I wouldn't say he's a lizard per se.
Well, no, because then he'd be Galizard.
And you're sure it's not just like a Komodo dragon in the foreground with some cakes around it?
No. It's like, you know, he's got the oven. Like, you know, it's like a dragon that breathes fire, but instead he's more like an easy bake oven.
So he's a little light bulb inside.
Yeah, he's got a little 40-watt light bulb inside him.
It kind of, it's more, you know, electrochemical process kind of stuff, but yeah, essentially, you sure? Yeah.
All right. Well, since you are a reigning expert, we have some questions here that we'll run one or two of these by you.
Absolutely.
First question comes from Laura, and she says, "Dear sirs and or madams of science," and she spells it with all caps.
Exclamation point.
Yes.
Yes. Good.
Actually, we established.
That's the way it should be spelled.
Yeah. Well, no, that's the kind of science that we're dealing with here. Not science, but science. If Galiza were to boogie down at Club 54, what color wig would he wear? And more importantly, would his heavy drinking make his cake-breathing issues even worse?
Hmm. That is an excellent question. I think it's probably going to be an orange wig to go with the cake breathing.
So it's orange wig that he's breathing?
Mostly. I mean, sometimes it's more of a, you know, kind of a coconut topping, but usually kind of a orangish frosting.
All right.
See, I think it's kind of a gastric thing.
See, I would think that his heavy drinking would just result in him breathing rum cake.
That would be my postulation as well.
Postulation? Mm. Is that a word?
Postulology.
Sure.
You know, my...
cryptozoological word.
So a made-up word.
From Canada.
Ah, well, we got that covered then. You know, my grandma Jimmy Carter actually made a hell of a rum cake, but that's neither here nor there. Laura continues, while we're at it, what's the best way to get cake stains out of polyester? Yours in glizology, Laura.
I think you just, you know, like hose it off like you do most polyesters.
Do you hose off polyester?
I believe dumping Snapple on it'll do the trick.
I mean, I can't
stick it in the dryer; it'll melt.
Well, I mean, I had an old walk suit that could actually be heated up to incredible temperatures without any damage at all. I mean,
well, that was go on adventures under the earth.
That was a very specialized suit, and you know, that's not an everyday polyester.
No, that was speed suit. No, it was a walk suit.
It was a polyester walk suit. I remember.
It was. You're the only one on Earth who does remember. But
it was a speed. Wait, it was a speed walking suit.
No, walk. WOK, like stir fry.
Like yeah, but they, you know, he was trying to write about it. And they kept color correcting it, yes. Spell correcting it to work,
yeah, and changing the color to red.
Yeah,
exactly. Or orange, like cake. Now we've come full Ouroboros circle. So. Bob, anything else to add? Any Galiza?
Any closing thoughts on Galiza?
I think that he's really misunderstood animal, and that, you know, we should befriend him, and then, you know, we'll all get more cake, which is good.
All right. For war purposes.
Well, Bob, I appreciate your time as always, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime I can help out with the Galiza, that's you know, absolutely my specialty.
All right. That was noted crackpot Bob. I learned so much about people that I thought I've known so well through this show.
Well, in your defense, you never actually asked him about Galiza.
Not that I know of. And throughout high school, he wore that ask me about Galiza button, and I just ignored it. So
you just kept asking him about Loom.
I couldn't help myself. We have some more questions here that we may as well answer while we're waiting for callers or guests or whatever we're pretending they are. We got a few from Scott Zioko here. Of course we do.
Of course.
New Flonk, as I call him, writes, dear esteemed Galiza experts, do different species of Galiza exhale different types of cakes? I can imagine the North American breed probably shoot your standard chocolate cake. But what kind of cake can we expect from places like China, Brazil, or even Poland? Yours in Galiza, Scott.
Hmm. Well, assuming that we have different breeds of Galiza rather than Bob's theory of the Galiza.
Well, and I'm kind of thinking it's more like the Loch Ness Monster or something like that, where there's just one.
The last Galiza?
That could be. Like, you know, it can't breed.
Rocketed from doomed Galiza planet.
You trying to wrap this in Superman? Because it ain't working.
Not at all.
No,
I think it's perfectly valid that Galiza should be shot from a doomed planet called Galiza Planet.
I think so, too, but I was trying to barrel past that in case you weren't very proud of your not terribly clever joke there. No, I think there's only the one Galiza. I don't know where he lives, so I couldn't really say.
He could be from India, and then he would have the eyeball cake.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah. Always vomiting eyeball cakes.
Yeah, and live bugs. Bug cake.
Yep. Monkey brains.
Monkeys in house.
Or if he's or if he's hanging out down in New Orleans, those cakes with the choking hazards in them.
Yep.
That people seem to love with the plastic baby that is good luck if you, like, survive swallowing it, I guess.
If you don't choke on it.
Yeah.
The boob cakes, which I guess aren't real.
I have no
idea. They're fictional.
I don't know. I know Mardi Gras is not the party town that we'd hoped. Apparently, it's quite tame, and
it's all about baking and being nice to your neighbors.
Yeah, it's eating pancakes and
sounds like a
fellowship
picnic.
Yeah. All right. Well, apparently, we have a caller on the line now, so let's let's go to that and we'll do that. All right, we have a caller on the line now, Terry from not Baltimore, Maryland. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
You got something to say about Galiza? That's apparently our topic. We have topics now, apparently.
And, yeah. And bits. We tried themes and found them wanting, so now we have topics.
Yes, totally different.
But Terry, you're my bitch. You're my homie. You're my, I don't know, girl. You'll be on my side with this. It can't possibly be real.
Right? Ah, right. Okay. Amanda's playing the role of the Galiza skeptic here, so.
No, he's real.
Oh.
He's totally real. I seen him.
Really?
Really?
Yes.
Where have you?
There was out near the mountains out in, I think, Allegheny County. Is that sure. right?
Yeah. The Allegheny County Mountains. Okay.
Yes.
I buy it.
And he was, I was on a camping trip and I saw him from a distance. So I don't actually know how tall he was.
Wait, actually, hang on. You're already contradicting yourself.
What?
You saw him or you've seen him?
Well, I seen him.
Okay. Well, you said you saw him. I need to be clear which one it is.
I visually, there was visual contact.
Okay.
With the large lizard.
There was eye contact?
Well, I don't know if he saw me. I hope he didn't see me.
Okay.
But, he's somewhere on a radio show talking about the myth of Terry.
Yes.
Well, I seen her.
It was near dusk. So
okay.
I really mostly saw him in profile. Like I saw his silhouette.
So it could have been freight wig on a weather balloon full of
No.
Drifting near a.
No, it was moving. Yes. It was moving.
Okay.
And it was making noise.
Okay. What kind of noise was it making?
It was sort of like
No, a description's not going to cut it. We need a reenactment.
I can't do the noise. It's sort of like the Tasmanian devil in the Looney Tunes cartoon. It made that sort of noise. Sort of a slobbery sort of noise.
Now, was there anything issuing from its mouth when that happened? Because, of course, we've been discussing the cake thing.
It looked like it was cake. I couldn't really tell if it was cakes. It looked like cake. So it looks like some sort of dessert coming from its mouth.
But, you know, so it could have also been like a flan.
All these people who think they've seen some kind of something coming out of some kind of something, they don't go up afterwards and take samples and bring it back to society. It's all these big, tall...
Somebody things. Vomits a cake and you want to take a sample? That was for science. You, Matt.
Well, we couldn't get up that high in the mountain. We would have gone up to see...
Oh, so it was up on the mountain, then?
It was higher than us, so, I mean, that's why we couldn't go any higher.
Was it like a dominance thing? Was it trying to get high ground to show the other Galizas that it was in charge?
I only saw one Galiza.
Okay.
There was only one Galiza that I saw.
Well, this at least supports the one Galiza theory.
that theory is rife with other issues, though, that we won't even get into right now.
The one true Galiza.
The Bed Bath and Beyond theory.
Yeah, Bob's Bed Bath and Beyond. The Bed Bath and Bosco theory.
I have not heard this theory on the, and I haven't seen it on the message boards either. So
So there's like underground Galiza like communities and such?
We have a group that meets
Galiza survivors?
Yes. We meet the second Tuesday of every month. We have actually, if you look on Meetup, we have a Meetup group.
Now, is it there where you are in not Baltimore, or is it somewhere else?
It's outside of D.C.
Ah, good.
It's outside of D.C. I don't want to say exactly where it is.
Oh, because no, I understand.
You hate to have people coming in and making fun of you.
We do. People make fun of us. I don't understand. I mean, I can't help that I saw Galiza. It just happened.
No, and honestly, if you're worried about, you know, your reputation or whatever, we can disguise your voice. We can, you know.
Starting right now.
Hello, I seen...
I saw Galiza!
I'm like for Tony Danza. Yes, I saw the Galiza.
Yeah, that does sound an awful lot like Batman from the more recent animated movies.
You deserve my match.
Yeah, all right. We're straying horribly off topic here. So what else can you tell us about him? I guess if it was dusk, you couldn't really tell what color he was?
I want to say greenish. I did draw a picture.
The picture is one of the many that are featured on the cover of this very
even now being analyzed by Galizologists.
Well, it was just, you know, a Photoshop that I did. I was, because I'm not, you know, an excellent artist, but it was sort of more like a rendition of what I thought he looked like. I didn't, like I said, I just saw him in profile. So I was sort of extrapolating from that.
You took a thing.
The dream of Galiza.
You took a thing that you thought it looked like and you built from there. That makes perfect sense to me.
Well, I thought it looked kind of like a Bulbasaur.
Right, which I don't know what that is, but sure.
How many would you say that a plant was growing out of it?
No. Other than that, but I mean the face. It was a very sweet face. It was like, you know, normally I would think if I, you know, normally saw a giant lizard, my first instinct would be to run. But I kind of said that I was, you know, there with my husband, and I was like, "Aw," and my husband's like, "Are you crazy? That's a giant lizard." But I thought he was kind of cute.
Well,
now. Does this support the Galiza is a friend of all children or a foe of all children theory?
Well, you know, she's not a child. She's my age.
Well, okay, so Galiza is a friend of Terry.
I don't know if he's a friend. I don't know if he's, like, aware of us in any sort of meaningful way. He might just not realize that we're sentient and step on us. Because, you know, I don't know.
It sounds to me, on the one hand, you're saying your husband was alarmed that you didn't react with fear, but it sounds like he wasn't particularly afraid either.
No, it was way up on the mountain, so he wasn't incredibly worried.
I see.
Also, like I said, it was making that really weird noise, and he thought that was kind of funny.
That's fair, and unfortunately, you didn't have like a cell phone camera or like a.
No, I wish I'd had one at the time, but I didn't. This was, you know, this was years ago.
Oh, of course.
This was probably 5 years ago.
Oh well, in the dark ages.
So I'll ask you this then. We're talking about the cryptozoological websites and their catalogs of all of the real monsters that are out there. You're part of an activist group about Galiza. Why isn't he listed on any of these reputable sites?
I think they just lump him in with like the dragon creatures.
So like Ogo.
I don't think he has his separate category.
Also, pissed off the Jersey Devil, and I mean that whole thing's political, so.
It's possible. I think he just gets lumped in with other categories. That's all.
If you saw him in Maryland, then that's not terribly far from where the Jersey Devil's stomping around. So
it's true.
I suppose that makes sense.
That's true.
Hey, Ogopogo is real. Ogopogo is as real as the nose on my face.
I have no opinion of. I don't see your nose, first of all. Secondly, I just like saying Ogopogo. All right. We have a question here. I don't know why I'm throwing this to you, but what the hell? Also from Scott Zioko, because he's our new flonk. And he says, "Dear proprietors of all things Galiza, if Godzilla came from the deepest, darkest depths of the ocean, awaken by a nuclear explosion, does Galiza come from the highest, brightest spot in the sky? And if so, what horrible human creation causes Galiza to come down and become a not-so-subtle allegory of the consequences of man's ambition? Galiza, go, Scott."
Galiza Agogo. I have no idea where he came from. That's the thing. We're you know, the people on the message boards have lots of theories, but we don't really know. As far as, you know, see, no one's told us.
No, and I think Scott's running into an obvious logical trap here, which is quite a fallacy, which is it's sort of that Bizarro thing. It's like Bizarro is not the exact opposite of Superman.
The retarded opposite of Superman.
Yeah, but he's not exactly because
he's still strong.
Yes, and they've pointed this out, I think, on Seinfeld, where it's like he's not black, which is the opposite of white. He's not a woman, which would be the opposite of a man. I mean, he's not an opposite in every single way. And Galiza, same way. He's not exactly the opposite of Godzilla. If he's from the deep ocean, that doesn't mean he's from the tall sky.
It does mean he's got a kickin' number one necklace, though.
Hell yeah, he does.
And that's actually how Corwin represented him. So it's possible. I mean, we have at least one visual, you know.
One accurate photo.
Yes.
I didn't see any jewelry.
Well, but again, it was dusk and it's hard to
see. I would think there would
jewelry.
Be a glint.
Galiza bling?
I don't know. Yeah, jewelry is especially hard to see at dusk. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, no, I think it would. The sun would bounce off of it.
Well, and we're talking to you, and I think if there were an Etsy store that sold the bling to giant fake lizards, I think you would be the one to know about it. So
I would have seen that. Yes,
there is though. It's called Galetzi.
Oh. Galiza is going to set the record for the most portmanteaus created with its name.
It's really all I've ever hoped for.
Yeah, it really is the gift that keeps on giving. So what? Yes. What?
The gift that keeps on giving.
Have you just turned Galiza into something like something wholesome into something horrible?
Yes.
Well, that is what you do.
Are there Galiza's Day cards I could get?
Another Galiza. Galiza Day used to be a holiday, but now it's been put in with all the other monster holidays.
Matt, I think you've blocked out what Amanda's just suggested, which is the Galiza centipede, which is several Galizas sewn together. That's something we need to talk to that German guy and see.
I don't even want to know what happens when the one at the back brings cake.
God,
that's something we're gonna have to look into. All right, Terry, anything else? Any final thoughts? Anything we've left out? Anything you think people need to know about Galiza?
I would just advise people, if you see Galiza, I would not approach him. I know he, like I said, he looks kind of cute, but he is very large. And I would just stay out of his way, really. So, and again, look for us on Meetup if you see him, and we can sort of discuss. And you know, if there's any military people out there that know a little more about Galiza's origins, we would love to hear from you.
You know, I may have to exploit my contacts because I used to work around the military, and it never even occurred to me to go that route. I'll see if I can dig something up. There.
You know they have like, you know, secret Galiza programs and stuff.
Yeah, all right. Well, we don't
there's been a rumor of them keeping Galiza at Area 51.
See?
No,
see?
That's where they keep the saucer people. It's like Area 3 where they keep Galiza.
But he's got an area, is what we're saying.
Yes, there's he a definitely has a area. Large area.
Okay.
All right, Terry, I appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
Bye.
Well, a lot to be said on this topic. Very, very. What's the phrase I'm looking for? Sensitive subject, hot topic. Hot. Nah, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I think you're thinking of that. Yeah.
All right then. We got. So let's address another question here. Got quite a few.
They're burning Galiza question from all the Galiza fans out there.
Yeah.
In Galiza land.
You couldn't make one portmanteau out of any of that, huh?
No.
All right. You failed me once again. Next question comes from Pete Letep, who's been on this very program, and he writes, "Dear Alan Matt, it is rumored that the mighty Galiza has an adopted Down syndrome sickened son, Galizuki.
Galizuki.
Can you confirm or deny this rumor, your friend Pete? I thought it was Galuki myself. We've actually speculated on the.
I believe that the correct pronunciation is Galuki. I can understand how you would get it wrong, as he has Down syndrome.
Also, there's a letter Z or Z, as you people would call it, in there that you want to put in there. Like, if you're talking about anything Galiza related, you want to put that Z sound in there to, you know.
Z sound?
No. Look, I was trying to be diplomatic. I was trying to use both, and now you're just being a jerk.
Z.
See, what I find horrifying about Galuki is that not only does he have wings, but also he is retard strong.
But I thought that Galiza was supposed to be like the retarded cousin of Godzilla.
Right,
so
but then
this is like the, another his,
no, hang
player.
On.
His inbred son though.
But let's follow the logic here. Godzilla to Godzuki is like Scooby-Doo to Scrappy-Doo. He's got a little annoying version of himself that's more annoying and less useful.
Oh, that's even worse.
And that's what Godzuki was to Galiza, to Godzilla. So Galiza's version would be just be a smaller version who's more irritating, not necessarily more retarded.
Okay.
Just like smaller and more childlike.
Whatever a cake vomiting dragon's version of puppy power is.
Right. I can't remember what Godzuki did. I remember the cartoon. All I remember is the theme song. There was this, you know, Godzilla, which was really cool. And then this stupid little chorus of like, you know, Godzuki. I was like, ugh. Even as
Shut
a little,
up,
like,
the, kid.
Yeah, as the tiniest kid, I was like, ugh, this is not a good idea.
Look, if there's one thing we've learned, it's that nobody likes kid sidekicks.
No, but I mean, it's like Batman and Aquaman. Like, no, it doesn't work. You've thrown it all off. Now it's all just wrong.
He has a giant seahorse.
Galuki does?
Sure.
I think they lived on an aircraft carrier.
What? Really?
Or there were like the human characters on that cartoon lived on an aircraft carrier.
Did they wear hard hats?
They may have. And they summoned Godzilla from the depths of the ocean when they needed his help.
Presumably by playing a knife that was shaped like a flute.
Sure. Yeah. I don't have any idea what that means. Yeah, that's what a flute sounds like. Yes, so the humans lived on an aircraft carrier, and Godzuki lived there with them. And
so, was he like a hamster? Did they have to like change his newspaper?
I'm assuming he sounded like Meatwad.
I'm assuming he had the sidekick voice that every character had in the 80s. Oh, I'm Godzuki. Oh.
I'm an abomination.
And I'm coming to your house after school.
Clearly a nuclear accident.
Just awful.
Just awful. All right.
Have some more Godzuki pellets.
So and change the cake batter in his bottle. Another question from Marissa. Mrs. Brewtown writes, what classic song should Puff Daddy mangle to create Galizza's entrance music?
Ooh.
And Amanda had to explain this one to me. Apparently, Puff Daddy did that horrible mangling of Kashmir, Led Zeppelin Kashmir, for the Godzilla movie with Matthew Broderick or Gene Wilder, one of them. I don't remember.
Matthew Broderick did?
Well, we decided, I think, when Chuck and Mal were on that one equals the other.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Like panthers and hawks.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
If there's one thing you learn on Sarcastic Voyage, it's
you called it
it's
the
math.
Sarcastic Voyage, damn it. You did it again.
I did not. That was an illusion.
Wow. An illusion, Michael.
Anyways, what Puff Daddy did in that song wasn't even rapping. He was just agreeing to the song.
He always,
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like this song.
I think that guy's a bit of a hack. Yeah. But, mm-hmm.
So, like what Chuck D does when he just doesn't know what to do with Flava Flav.
No, he does more than that. He produces the songs and so forth.
Yeah, but sometimes he's just like, whatever, Flav. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Flava Flav.
You're so white. So, I don't think it would be Puff Daddy. I think it would be, first of all, he doesn't call himself that anymore. He calls himself like P. Loopy or something. But
P. Snoop. P. Snoopy?
Yes. But I think much like Galizza is the retarded version of Godzilla, you would probably get like Puff Daddy's lesser successful, like Puff Aunt. Or, you know, Puff Cousin or something. Like you'd get, you know, like somebody not as good as him. Yeah. Is he? No, I thought he was talented.
He's one of those pitch correction guys.
Oh, well, fuck him then. Oh God, he's gonna kill me now.
Yep.
We've started a turf war. Let's get back to the Galizza thing, won't we?
In any case, I believe the song that he will mangle is the miracle song.
Oh, how could you mangle that?
Because Galizza himself is a miracle.
Fucking Galizza, how does he work?
And a pelican stole his cake vomit.
Are we basically just covering every stupid inside joke we've done on the show so far?
I don't think we're quite there yet, but we should keep working.
We seem to be well on our way. If we could just cover Galizza and Felt, we've pretty much got it covered.
So it'd be like the Panther.
Yes, the Felt covered Panther, exactly.
Where's velvet pants?
This is beautiful. What is that, velvet? So, I think it would be some lesser successful, like a used car dealer version of Puff Daddy doing like, I don't know.
Puffed Daddy?
Yes, puffed, like puffed rice. You know, the generic supermarket brand of sugar smacks or whatever.
Puff Papa.
Right.
Rice Puffs, I think they're called.
Right. Doing, you know, instead of cashmere, it would be like felt.
Sweater.
I picture the, that, I learned the truth when I was 16.
There. Now we've done the Galizza song.
Uh huh. Yeah.
I think so.
That's right.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. That's probably true. Uh huh.
This chick talking true things, which are all.
It's true.
Oh, we have come full circle.
So, Ouroboros, then. Very nice. All right, we got some more letters here. Let's do those.
So many people want to know so much about Galiza.
And so many of them are Scott.
Yes. Galiza fascinates Scott especially.
Scott asks, dear...
The whole pastry angle, I think.
Oh, not that again.
I think Scott used to ride Galiza when he was a boy.
That would explain a lot.
They went on adventures.
Wait, is Scott a Herculoid?
I don't know that he's a Herculoid. I think he may have been friends with Herculoids.
Galizioco? All right.
Scott Galoco?
Dear O sacred sages of the texts of Galiza, Blue Oyster Cult wrote a song called Godzilla. Who writes a song called Galiza? Oh no, there goes Tokyo, Scott. I don't know this song. You guys have been singing it, and I wish you'd shut up, but
we never will.
But I don't know.
Great song about Godzilla.
Yeah, well, you can't sing it on this show because, you know, copyright and stuff.
So. I think that someone should write a song about called Galiza, and I think that those people are going to have to be us.
Well, I mean, we have people clearly, as you can see from the cover of this episode, we have, you know, artistic people willing to render Galiza, you know, visually. But I don't know that we know any musicians, like songwriters. Like,
if you're a songsmith and you would like to write a song about Galiza, please contact us.
Yeah.
There will be no reward.
I thought there was that one guy.
Well, no, Ashwin sings.
No, another guy who's in a band.
No, not Ashwin.
No.
Not go crazy here.
Well, I mean, there's Jeremy who has his own podcast who's in a band. I don't know. We could ask him, I suppose.
He's a band, right?
He's a guy.
Yeah, you just be a band, right?
No, that's not really how it works exactly.
Some people are bands.
You know, like Trent Reznor. He's a band.
I don't even know where to begin with that one.
I don't know where to start or where to begin.
So, who would write the song? I guess us, but that doesn't sound right.
Preferably someone else.
Yeah, because I don't want to do it.
Someone who writes good lyrics.
You know, I wrote some songs early on in this podcast and put them at the end of the show, and someone recently said, you guys never have any songs on your show. Like, hey, thanks. Thanks for that.
Songs that count.
Yeah.
I could write like a girly folk song about Galiza.
Well.
The circle, the answer, ages.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in Galiza.
Yeah.
Well. Or we, and then I could do some sort of vague.
How many cakes must a man breathe down?
Is he a man now?
For the purposes of this song, yes. It's
is
a
he
metaphor.
A dragon man? Or just a dragon?
Galiza comes in the night?
Yes. No, I mean, I could probably do one of my half-assed, you know, fake nerdcore songs about him. I mean, you know, we could bring different styles, I guess. You could do your girl thing, and I could do that. And
Do I have to?
Well, no, I don't want to do this either. Mm. So I was spitballing here. I'm trying to throw some stuff
but
around.
But you're just going to be able to agree with some background music. I'll have to, like, make up chords and forge a guitar out of cold steel.
Well, that'll be fun for you. Will I have to do anything as my...
You're always saying how much you like forging things, Amanda.
Yeah. She's all the time saying that.
In the fires.
In the darkness and the blackness.
In the night
where guitars are forged.
Where no one can hear you scream.
All right, you know what, Scott? You have written more songs for this show than, except for me, anyone else. So
We're tasking you.
I say right now you're the best candidate. I mean, maybe somebody's better, but right now you're number one there. So
balls in your court, Dioko.
Get to it. Number one dad?
Yes. now that we've said that, he'll write seven of them.
But, I'm comfortable with that.
He'll write a light opera about Galiza.
I'm really comfortable with that.
Ooh, I can make the leitmotif my cell phone telephone ring.
You don't have a cell phone telephone. You don't believe in them. All right, let's move on to another question.
A phone call from Galiza.
Dear Al and Matt, I am fine, but I really don't care to know how you are. Well, thanks
good.
For that.
That's fine.
Do you think Galiza would be more dependable than 1-800-Flowers when it comes to pleasing your mom? Hugs and kisses, Pat McDonald. You're going to ask me who that is. It's Poodle Douche. Bit of backstory, 1-800-Flowers.com is the worst website in the world and made my mother cry on Mother's Day. So don't use that.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually, they didn't. My mom's fine, but...
You should send her some purple underwear to make up for it.
Yeah, she'd like that.
Wow. That, I've never blushed in front of my fiancé before. That's a new one. So,
Amanda, I hope you got a photo of that.
It'll disappear slowly as my mom sees the purple underwear and so forth. I do like how he phrased this, though, when it comes to pleasing your mom. That's interesting wording there.
She said the same thing that pleases my mom.
Black men?
Black men. All the black men.
Is Galiza a black man?
I don't know. We haven't really established what Galiza is yet.
From what I can think, Galiza is supposed to be, in all cases, at least a very large lizard. And, I mean, that could range from, you know, just a fairly large lizard phallus to, you know, a lizard phallus the size of a school bus. In which case, no, that would not please my mom.
Or let's be clear.
Or in
just a Komodo dragon with some cakes in the foreground.
Look, nobody else believes that except you. This myth of a Komodo dragon with cakes is perpetuated by you. For some reason, you want people to believe this ridiculous fantasy.
Sometimes Amanda, a strong woman must stand alone.
Amanda, do you work for Big Komodo?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
So that means yes.
I have Fifth Amendment rights now, don't I?
No, you have no rights. You can't go to Canada. You're not an American. Right now,
you're barely a person now.
You are literally a woman without a country right now.
I'm off the grid.
I can abuse your human rights till the cows come home.
Trapped in a world you never made.
There was time now. Oh, no!
Well, if you break your glasses, there's that website. So at least I'm covered there. I think Galiza...
at least.
I think Galiza would be much more dependable than 1-800-Flowers.com, which should go to hell. I really just like to use this soapbox to tell people that that's a horrible business who completely fucked up Mother's Day and did not deliver flowers to my mother.
Well, the whole point of them is delivering flowers. They have one job to do.
I got on there Friday morning, the second I got paid, and ordered some stuff, got it there nice and early, and it's now Monday, and they said, oh, by the way, we don't have any, we can't deliver to you. Can't deliver there. You want your money back?
Did they give your mother's love back as well?
No.
It is now gone?
Nope, it's gone.
No, they kept that.
Yeah. They gave me love in store credit, which is useless.
But they don't deliver flowers, so it's store credit for nothing.
Right, exactly. They can't do what I want, so store credit is utterly useless.
Could send some flowers to Matt.
No,
I would appreciate that.
I don't think that I could.
I could send some flowers to Matt and say that it was you.
I think you have the very wrong idea about our relationship. Just because we sleep together does not mean I'm sending him flowers.
Don't give him no eye contact.
Right. We've defined this before. I'm not going down that flowers and candy route. Then there's a whole other thing that I'm... Ooh, not my scene, man.
No.
So.
Al, you don't give me flowers anymore.
All right, our next question comes from Duh. And he writes, I think Duh may have invented Galiza or pointed out to us. Yeah. I'm mentioning it again. Shut up.
No.
Oh, all right. Then.
That hasn't worked thousands of times in the past.
No, but that's a cue to me when I'm editing. When I say shut up, I make your voice go away.
You can't because you're sharing the microphone.
I bet I could. Since Galiza spews out cake batter, what is the recipe of the Galiza cake? Can I just scoop it up and cook it in a cake pan, or do I need to add anything? What flavor frosting should I use? If someone was to make a Galiza-shaped soap, would it also smell like cake batter?
Scoop up the Galiza vomit, fry it up in a pan.
If someone were to make soap, I think...
Well, certainly Tidro would, if anyone. Yeah. But
Isn't she your official soapstress?
She is. She is, in fact, the official soapstress of this very podcast. I think people are really fixating on this cake thing, and I think there's so much more to Galiza.
But this is the only thing that people know for sure.
Yeah.
But there's so much more to it. Like, the cake thing is just one small aspect, and we're going to spend this entire show talking about cake when really there's so much more. There's a mysterious lizard that apparently we invented.
No time. Cake.
People are just looking at the freebie.
You're doing it. It's Kaiser Soze here is making us only talk about the cake aspect of things. It all makes sense now.
It's odd since Amanda hates cake.
I do hate cake.
I do as well. this one of the things that we bond over. When we get married,
Galiza
will
be no friend of yours.
Well, that's fine. We hate children as well, so we're covered pretty much both ways.
From all giant reptiles?
Yes. Also, I have giant reptile insurance, which is important.
That is
important. Well, I mean, we'd want to be covered if something should happen to your giant reptile.
Yeah, and it would be a real shame if a giant reptile were to step on your apartment. All right, so do we have an answer to this question or no?
Oh, the question again? Something about cake batter?
I don't know. I deleted after I asked it. I have no idea.
Something about
all right.
The type of cake?
Sure.
Cake recipe?
I'm pretty sure it's usually chocolate. And so the Galiza soap would probably also smell like chocolate.
So is Bill Cosby in any way involved with this? Because, I mean, Dad is great, and he gives us the chocolate cake.
Well, I'm aware of that.
So it's one of those jello Wait. Cakes, like, you know, you make cake that also has pudding in it?
Ooh. Wait, so are you saying that Bill Cosby is Galiza's dad?
Yes. Yes, I am saying that. You know, it's about time we took a stand and made some more assertions.
All right. Well, we got us a fact.
On the Galiza tip. So Galiza's dad is Bill Cosby. Write it in your copy books.
Galiza's great. Vomit chocolate cake.
Like, was there an egg? Or did he have sex with the lady dragon?
Well, Bill Cosby,
I believe Bill Cosby dropped spores.
No, Bill Cosby mentioned in his stand-up, in fact, in that very stand-up, when his children got the cake and his wife got mad at him, that his wife's face split open and orange light shot out. Like, she's a monster. Oh. He's established that his wife, Camille, is in fact a monster.
Is she Champy?
Now, that I don't know. Champy?
Champy. It's the lake monster of Lake
Champlain. Champlain.
Well, it would be Champlain, so it would be Champy.
Champagne?
So Trumpy?
So she can do stupid things?
Yes. Wait, the French champagne?
Ah, the French lake monster.
Well, now we've almost got every single one of our jokes in there, so... Yeah. Bill Cosby and his lake monster wife,
Camille.
Galiza. Yes, Camille. Had five children. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five children.
And one monster.
Yeah, four daughters, a son who was tragically murdered a few years ago. Nothing funny about that. And Galiza, which is hilarious.
Alas, he was also tragically murdered a few years ago.
But he's still stomping around, or possibly not.
Yeah, his ghost, maybe.
How about that? Do we have any recent sightings? Any recent Galiza activity?
Because Tedro said this was a couple of years back.
Yes.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
Galiza could be long dead, and we're wasting our time on this thing.
Well, that's debatable. I mean, we did spend four entire shows answering Flonk's questions.
You did an entire episode about donuts.
We did that too.
I did an entire episode where I tried to interview Scott Zioko, my artist friend. He turned it into a show about donuts. We need to be very clear on that.
And now he's trying to turn this into a show about Galiza.
Well, it is a show about Galiza.
He succeeded.
It's all Zioko and Bill Cosby.
Damn you, Zioko!
And
Cosby.
And Big Komodo. Our next question comes from Tidro, and she writes, "Dear Galiza experts, is Galiza a friend or foe to humanity? Should we as a species welcome him and help him, or should we combine our various military forces to destroy him?" Why can't we do it in the road?
We welcome him and help him, and then when he's lured into a false sense of security, our military can destroy him. And then we can learn the secret of his eternal cake.
It's always about the cake. There's got to be more. There's got to be so much more to this guy.
And we can hold Bill Cosby to ransom.
Maybe his skin is made of precious
hamburgers. Precious hamburgers?
Made of meat.
Well, much like Gamera, I mean, Bob pointed out that...
Gamera is made of turtle meat.
Yes, but he's just full of meat, is what Bob said.
Yes.
Not specifically turtle meat, but just meat in general.
Maybe Galiza is like the giant sea turtle, where he's too delicious to live.
That's possible. The Stephen Fry Show QI pointed out that the giant sea turtle never received a proper species name, because every time the scientists would go there to study it, they would eat the thing because it was so delicious. And they ate it to extinction. and it never got a name.
Yeah, so maybe Galiza like that.
It could be. Or now I'm thinking if he's full of meat and he breathes cake, it could be meat. It could be cake. It looks like meat cake.
So Galiza comes from old comedians.
Old good comedians, though. We have to be
old good comedians.
Not like Emo Phillips and Billy Crystal. And
well, there's nothing good about Emo Phillips. He's a different kind of monster.
Well, I don't know about that.
He's history's greatest monster.
You know, I'm going to go on record here speculating that Tidro has a crush on Emo Phillips. I bet she thinks he's cute.
Ugh.
I'm just...
His feet.
Possibly his feet. I'm not going to go that far on that one, but I bet she's got something for Emo Phillips. Just call me Mr. Butterfingers.
I don't think I'll be doing that.
But back to this meat thing. Maybe,
yes.
You know how you feed chickens grain to make them delicious? Mm-hmm. Maybe you feed Galiza cake mix to make him delicious.
Who's been feeding him? That implies an extra layer of conspiracy here, that there's some outside group feeding him things to make him delicious.
Yes, the Brotherhood of Good Comedians.
Interesting. And once George Carlin died, suddenly Galiza becomes known because he was holding the secret?
Yes, exactly. It's all making sense. We're through the looking glass here, people.
Is that why?
I have always wanted to say that.
Now you need to watch the movie JFK where that actually comes from. But, so wait.
So long and boring.
No, it's a great movie.
Listen
to me.
Fall for his trap.
Look, you got the right ta-ta, but the wrong ho-ho, okay? Seriously, though, if we're onto something here with the comedians, is that why Martin Short is a comedy vampire? Is he trying to destroy the good comedians who are keeping the legacy of Galiza?
I believe that Martin Short is a foe of Galiza.
He's the anti-Galiza.
If he's trying to expose the truth, maybe Martin Short's a good guy. Maybe you guys have had this wrong the whole time.
No, that can't possibly be right.
No, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Have you
more
seen...
More than likely he's...
Yeah.
That... More than likely he's the Azizgo. Excuse me, Azizlog.
No, I think
Azizlog.
Your first,
there we go.
I think your first mangling is going to have to.
I didn't even know what I said the first time.
I don't know, but if you say it backwards one more time, you're going to summon him. I know that. Our final question comes from the child of the Brewtowns, Jaquita, and she writes, "Does Galiza have a favorite baking or cooking show? How does he feel about Rachel Ray?
Cooking Mama.
Thank you for that.
Galiza loves the Iron Chef.
Really?
Yes. There's proof. There have been episodes of The Iron Chef where Galiza is the guest chef.
Oh. All right. I don't watch cooking shows, so I really couldn't say.
Today's secret ingredient is meat and cake.
Well, it could be.
I don't really watch much in the way of cooking shows, but Irene, a friend of mine, always has.
We know who Irene is. She's our resident vampirologist.
Yeah. She always has them on in the background. She doesn't really watch them. She just has them on. And I became fascinated with this show about tiny candy castles. And it was like 2 hours long. And I watched the whole thing.
So are you saying that Galiza lives in a tiny candy castle?
Maybe.
See, you know,
I'd buy it.
I was thinking that Galiza might enjoy watching Julia Child, the classic older lady cook slash former CIA spy. She was actually, she was a spy in World War II, believe it or not. Before they were called the CIA, it was like the OSS or something. Possibly OSI.
The OSI?
Yes. but no, she really was like a Mata Hari type, like during World War II. And then she went on to be a TV chef. And I like
to seduce them with her baby.
Yes.
Exactly. Natural progression.
What? I heard you, but I didn't understand you.
That was terrifying, Amanda.
Yeah, please don't ever do that again. But I'm trying to do is tie in, you know, secret spy rings during World War II to our vast tapestry of conspiracy here. And I'm grasping. I can't really.
Sort of like that force of Japanese guys who had a giant robot to fight Godzilla with.
Mechagalizza?
Yes.
No,
Mechagalizza.
Is there a Mechagalizza?
Well, of course, because.
At least one person has attempted to draw Mechagalizza. Maybe more. I can't remember. But,
Well, Mechagalizza was built in the late 80s as a way to defeat Galiza.
So Galiza's been around since the 80s?
I think Galiza's been around since the 70s, but no one did anything about him back then. Hmm. So around the 80s, you know, we've got this giant monster. We should maybe do something about it.
Now I
then they waited a while longer.
I seem to recall in the 70s having a Galiza toy that had a spring-loaded cake that came out of his mouth and put kids' eyes out. And so in the 80s, they had to you know, take that out.
Wanda?
Oh, yeah, that thing's worth quite a bit.
Yeah, Galiza jarts. They were fantastic. And if we didn't already have our title, then that would be it, Galiza jarts. But sadly, no. Actually, I think that's about all we have.
Yep.
That's all the questions. That's all the callers. That's all the information. So, Matt, anything else?
What have we really learned about Galiza? What have we learned about this noble creature?
We've managed to tie together every sort of straw that we've grasped at for the last 64 episodes. I know that.
Yep.
That's right. This is episode 63, but there's a secret hidden episode you haven't heard. So
I guess, Jesus, I guess Bob's theory was right.
That could very well be. Amanda, do you have any? I mean, obviously you're just going to shoot down whatever we said, but anything useful to add?
That doesn't sound like something I'd do.
No, it really doesn't.
Nope. Not useful.
Amanda, anything to add?
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, it's easier when you're the guest, Amanda. It's just easier to manipulate you to say things I actually want you to say. So
Just like real life.
All right, so that's all for us, and I guess we're going to have to just leave this Galiza question open. And if any of you have further information leading to the arrest of Galiza,
get it.
Please let us know or contact your local library. Matt?
More information about Galiza can be found on the internet.
But don't take our word for it.
Ta-da-da-da.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at sarcasticvoyage.com. Detailed show notes, related links, and alternate file formats are also available on the web. That website, again, is sarcasticvoyage.com. Follow Matt and Al on Twitter. They are, respectively, @RobotMatt and @Algar. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com. An on-air response is guaranteed. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the featured guest, unless otherwise noted. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2010.
Fishy, fishy, fishy!